Greetings to each one this morning. I thought by this time I wouldn't get so nervous, but I don't know the last time I was this nervous. This is a very special service. And I come here with a lot of mixed feelings. It marks the beginning and an ending, in a sense. The ending, and yet there is no ending, and yet it always has been, and life keeps going on. And as I said, personally, I have a lot of mixed feelings. There's within myself a certain joy, but I'm not sure I really like it. You're splitting the family, and it struck me that we're never, from here on in, there's many of you, I just won't see you that often. I realize we don't talk to each other every Sunday, but it's still nice to see you. Most of the time. I'm just joking. So that's there. It's very real for me. And I think even that was brought up in our Sunday school class. I think that's all around. And I, dealing with church division and separating and starting out a congregation, I still remember back, see, you know when you're getting old when you start saying, "I remember back when." That's I don't know. Maybe more mature is better than saying you're getting older. But I still remember back when that discussion was brought up, and I think it was, I think Tony remembers stuff like this better. But I think it was in 2018 in the summer. It's going to say 19, but I think it was the year before that. And I remember it was that leadership, and I brought it up. I think I talked to Tony about it. I said, I think we got to do something here sometime. And I know one of the things that I realized about church life is that God does speak through his people. We ask for that in ordinations, and the God does. He speaks through his people. But first, when you do something like that, I knew enough, you had to bring it out and then just sort of sit back and see what happens. And ultimately, this is what's happened. And I brought that out because I remember bringing it up I remember very clearly the conversation. And I said, you know, there's this wave coming through the Sunday school class. And all these little children are, you know, about this high. And the day's going to come, they're going to be about this high. And I look over here, and they're all about that high. And ultimately, no, fine. And then life goes on, and they start getting the idea they want to get married and stuff like that, and which is good. And life goes on. And I felt very strongly we need to prepare for that. And left the discussion at that. We talked about it now and then. And then something else happened in 2020. That was if you remember, it was in February. COVID hit, and everything was kind of kiboshed for about 2-3 years, we didn't even talk about it. And then again, the discussion came up. And ultimately, the Lord has brought us to this place. And as I said before, I also believe strongly that if the Lord wills it, he will bring it about, and that will be through the voice of his people. And here we are now. There's a verse in Ephesians 3:20, I just want to read this. In verse 20, there's a fascinating verse that I think is my testimony. And it's in the doxology. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." It is Jesus Christ at work. It is Christ who has done this. Nothing else. And it's been done for his glory. For me personally, it has been a great joy to see how God has raised up so many young men and women who have caught the vision that I believe we need of a church that preaches the gospel and are willing to move forward with it. For me personally, watching, I was going to say young men. I'll go to younger men. I remember one time I said something in Gerald. I called him a young man. And from now on, it's going to be younger men. or maybe I'll say less mature men that, you know. But as I watch younger men and women take that same vision and go ahead with it, I realized early on that that has to happen. That has to happen. There's a point where the more mature men, the older men, have to step back and the younger guys have to take over. It's not going to work without, it's just not going to happen. And that has been a joy to see. As I was asked to speak, and my thoughts did go all over the place, and I don't want to be too long, maybe 15, 20 minutes. And the one question that came to mind is, what is the purpose of the church, this church, any church? Or what do the scripture tell us and what do they teach us? And the moment I started looking at that, all of a sudden I was bombarded with a reality that I understood anew, but maybe now I see it in a different light. And I'd like you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. And I'd invite you all to rise as I read the first chapter. Please rise. In this chapter, and I'm going to read from verse 3 to 14, I believe. And before I want to make one comment about this section. It is speaks about believers, it speaks about our position, that we've been chosen, that we've been sealed. But what I'm getting at, this message, and one thing only, is why has he done that? I'm going to read verse 3, and there's going to be three phrases I'm going to emphasize louder as I go through them. I want you to catch on. I think you will. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Now watch verse 12. "That we should be to the praise of his glory, for first trusted in him," in Christ, "in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." Let's pray. Father, you know what I'm trying to say this morning, Lord, and I just pray that somehow your spirit would speak to each person's heart. Reveal this one central truth that the entire scripture shouts forth, and that is we're dealing with your glory, that everything has been done and for you and for your glory. Amen. You may be seated. As I was pondering this, these verses in Ephesians are phenomenal. And I did, years ago, I got this commentary set by Martin Lloyd-Jones on Ephesians. I don't know what you know about him. But Martin Lloyd-Jones, an Englishman, he preached through the book of Ephesians, and there's 250-some messages through the book of Ephesians. Volume 1 is chapter 1, okay, out of 8 volumes. This sermon I took, I owe a lot to him, and it was out of verse 6. And I looked at that, I thought, oh my word, how do I ever bring what is in this, what I'm trying to say, and do that in 15, 20 minutes? And it just seems monumental in that the Lord can, I trust the Lord will speak to your hearts. The purpose of God and the purpose of our salvation is right in here. And that the purpose of the church, number one, first and foremost, is to glorify God. I'm going to say this a few times throughout this sermon. It's not about you. The purpose of the church is not about you. It's not even about your salvation, ultimately. Now, you get part of that. You'll see what I'm getting at. And you'll find that it's all about God. We have to understand what we just read from verse 3 to 14. Everything after verse 5, and it's interesting, in verse 5, all right, let me go back a bit. It says Christ in verse 3 that he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. He chose us in him, verse 4, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. He predestinated us under the, he gave us inheritance, we became his children according to the good pleasure, what, of his will. He did this to the good pleasure of his will. He just wanted to do it, and he did it for himself. And then in verse 6, it says, why? To the praise of the glory of his grace. And then he goes on. We have redemption. It's dealing with us. We have redemption through his blood. Our sins are forgiven. He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He made known unto the mystery of his will, etc. Verse 11, you've been given inheritance, predestinated according to the purpose of him, etc. Why? Again, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. And he goes on again in verse 14, talks about our inheritance, our redemption, unto the praise of his glory. It's incredible, and the bottom line is it's all about God. It's incredible that God purposed to reveal that glory in us and through us. We have been chosen to be holy and to the adoption of sons, verse 4 and 5. Why again? In order that we might be to the praise of his glory. You see, this congregation is to shew forth his praises. When the world sees this and sees us, they're to see the glory of God. And let me explain that a bit. Tony read in Psalms 19. Do you remember the first verses? I'll just read it again. It says, the heavens declare what? The glory of God. In fact, you read this, the first six verses is the universe, the heavens. And if you look at it, it says the firmament shows his handiwork. You look at it, it's like an artistry. And then it presented like a chorus, like a big orchestra. In verse 2, day unto day utter speech, night unto night knowledge. There isn't a speech, there's not a language, so the voice isn't heard. I think of that, I think of an orchestra with instruments. Just they're not talking, it's just singing. You're hearing them, it's just shouting forth praise. And it goes on. So God reveals himself through his creation, and then also God reveals himself through his law. And I remember a comment one time I heard, there's only two beings, two things that will not give God glory, and that's fallen angels and fallen men. It never ceases to amaze me that the heavens, when you look at them, I've already looked at the heavens on a starry night when it's clear. It's just unbelievable. And somebody comes along and says, once upon a time there was this bang. I just blows my mind. But that's fallen man. That's the best he can do. And yet we as a believer see his glory in that. But that glory is even far eclipsed by the church and what the church is to be. Salvation. And Martin Lloyd-Jones puts it this way, and I think he's right on, and I just quote him. Salvation is the greatest manifestation of the glory of God. In Mark 16:15, the church was given what's called the Great Commission. It's also in Matthew 28. And the first thing that was said in Mark 16 was preach the gospel. 1 Timothy 1:11 makes this comment. He says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I think the ESV, if you look at it, says the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. It refers to the gospel as a glorious gospel in 2 Corinthians 4:4. In Matthew 28, from 18 to 20, when that message goes out, I'm going to read the commission that Jesus preached. These are the last words he spoke. The very last thing he gave the church, a charge. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 20, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You know, it's interesting, in Mark 16, it's preached, and I think it's also in this text in Matthew, the preaching, and then after that is the baptizing, and the teaching them to observe all things. In the preaching of the gospel, you're preaching the most glorious truth about God that there is. And as people respond, and we're going to see that this afternoon, God will call people to himself. And it's interesting that in the command, those who baptize are given the responsibility to teach those who are baptized. Those baptized place themselves under their authority, and we'll see that this afternoon. The purpose of this church is to glorify the Father. The purpose in your spiritual life is to bring glory to him. And it's also, as we do that, and as we look at this great command, it's the edification of believers. In Ephesians 4, 11 to 6, now I'd invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read these verses. In verse 11, and this is the functioning of the church, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And here's the objective, and stay with me. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, makes increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. So God, in his sovereignty, has given gifted men to the church. The objective of those men and the objective of the church is to perfect the saints, to bring them into Christ-like maturity. See, God is determined, and he will, to cause each and every one of you and bring you into the very image of Jesus Christ, and that is for his glory. I think the best way I can explain this, or as I wrote in my notes, the entire purpose and reason is to bring glory to God so the church corporate and all individuals within that body grow into the fullness of Christ. Remember back in John chapter 1:14, maybe you know that verse. It says, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. Who are we speaking about there? About Jesus Christ. It says, we beheld him and we saw in Christ the fullest manifestation of God's glory. Amen? And that manifestation was full of grace and truth. That was Jesus Christ. In that person, I like how Hebrews says, where Jesus speaks about himself, he said, a body hast thou prepared for me. God himself, stay with me, placed himself in a body, initially impregnated a womb, a young virgin, a child was born, named Jesus, who was God in flesh and manifested the full glory of the Father. All right? We call that the body, that's his body. So what isn't the church called the body of Christ? In that sense, we're the second body. That first body, you see the analogy I'm using here, had one objective. Jesus said, my meat is what? To do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. His whole existence, he had but one thing, was to do the will of the Father, walk in obedience, and in his death and in his resurrection manifested God's glory. You see, it's interesting that we as believers, and this is where I'm trusting the Lord will reveal this, we as believers see that as an example, and in our own lives, we're to follow that example. Kyle, as he went through the Sermon on the Mount, I find it fascinating. In the Sermon on the Mount, it shows us how to live. Jesus, this is how I want you to live. You're representing me. You represent my Father. You live in my kingdom. This is how you function. And at the end, he gives that incredible warning where it says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? Remember that verse? He that does the will of my Father. You tell me, you think that's serious? That's serious. And those who are doing the will of the Father are those who are reflecting the glory of God. And it comes down to doing the will of the Father. If you get to the end of the sermon, it comes down to those who walk in obedience and those who do not. The objective of a church must be from the pulpit, and the solemn responsibility, and it does land squarely on the leadership, is to preach the truth, to guard that truth, to preach it in its purity, to bring people to Christ, to mature them into the fullness of the image of Christ and all the glory. And out of that, Jesus Christ, God the Father, gets glory. See, glory is at the bottom of everything. It's there. It just permeates the scripture. It permeates the Psalms. You can't get away from it. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul calls the church the pillar and the support of the church. There is an element where we have been given this book like in a sacred trust. And it even lies more soberly on those who preach it. You make sure you get it right. You get that gospel message right. Because in that gospel message is revealed the glory of the Lord. So we have first it's for his glory. Yeah, we're the recipients of it. We have our salvation. But ultimately at the heart is the glory of God. The message goes out. The message is preached. The gospel message goes out. And the Great Commission, it says it's to go to it goes to all the world. And it's only as believers grow in the knowledge of Christ, as they mature, that they can take that message out. That's what the Lord is after, because he's after glory. You know, Romans 1:16 makes this statement. It's a fascinating verse. It calls the gospel the power of God. He says, I'm not ashamed of that message. Paul saw in that message the gospel, the message of the gospel, and in that message was the very power of God. The point I'm making here is, let us never forget, in this church or at Bethel or whatever comes, you have one responsibility, that is the gospel. It is God's power. It is the full manifestation of God's glory in that message. And that has to be first and foremost the number one. It's interesting to me, as something I've noticed, and I'm not trying to sound judgmental, but I've walked into churches, and it's sad. I've walked into funeral services, which is worse. And you go there, and there's no gospel. Blood, cross, salvation, those terms, they're not even mentioned. I still remember when I went there. Actually, actually was curious what she was going to say. So I took out a piece of paper, and maybe this reveals a bit of the way I am, a little critical maybe. And I thought I'm going to start writing what's said. And the person went up to the front, and they read from the scripture or something in Psalms about the hills, and then shut the Bible and started talking about the individual that passed away. There was nothing. And I left there. I was torn. I was just, these were people I grew up with, okay? And I was just, you felt sick to your stomach. Maybe that's just me, I don't know. There was no gospel. None. There's a part of me that says, I just wish if that happens that they just shut the door and quit. But why would Satan want that? Keep them in church, keep them happy, spiritualize them, whatever you want to call them. But there was no power there. Romans 1:16 says the gospel is the power. We must never must always remember that. It's not going to be easy. Church life at times is difficult. It's hard. It's tough. It's dirty. That can get messy. There are times things happen, and I'm going to be candid. I don't know why it had to go that way. I don't know why some decisions were made the way they were made. And I come to the conclusion I don't have to understand everything, but I have to be faithful. It will not be easy. You are in a battle. You have a foe. It's Satan. He's real. He's alive. I'm not trying to... I told Tony, I said, I know I'm back to doing preaching, I said, because yesterday everything went wrong. One day, three vehicles broke down, and then the heating didn't work. Then you're tempted to leave the heating go till Monday, minus 20, I don't think so. It's incredible the way that happens. I think keep your pastors in prayer, pray for them, pray they'll be faithful. And my greatest challenge is that each and every one here has one thing in purpose, one thing in mind, that is to promote the gospel and live for Christ and walk in obedience, and thereby glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want to close with a verses in Ephesians 1. I'm going to close this as a prayer. I'm going to ask to. I stopped at Ephesians 1, verse 14. I'm going to read from 15 to the end, and I'm going to ask you to bow your heads in prayer as I read this. And Paul has a prayer, and this is a prayer that I'm going to pray for each one of you. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Lord bless.